For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everyone. We're on chapter 63. We're getting towards the end. We're right, actually in the middle of a prophecy. I mentioned to you that the chapters are very inaccurate, the one who divided the chapters. We didn't know if it was Jewish or non-Jewish, or there's nothing spiritually significant about how the chapters are divided. Sometimes they're okay, and sometimes they're in the middle. And part of the last prophecy was the redemption, how the Jewish people will be rebuilt, and there'll be we will no longer feel rejected, and we'll see signs of Hashem's love, and the Israel will be rebuilt. Along with that, along with the people that have been harmed and abused, and that they'll be redeemed, and they'll be saved, and they'll be freed from slavery, there will be a retribution. Meaning that those that have, the criminals, those that have been the bad people, there'll be a punishment. And that's always, we believe that good people get rewarded for the good things they do, and people that are evil, they need to be punished for the bad things that they do. And there's a description here of what will happen in that time. Mizeh ba me'Edom. Who is that coming from Edom? Edom was the place where Esav was. Esav is commonly thought of as the Europeans or the but the Edom means who comes from the place of redness. Who is that coming from the place where people that are bloody? Asa was described as a person that was bloody and red and wanted to kill. In fact, they say that when David HaMelech was first born, they looked at him and he was red. He had that red. So, you know, some people say they're redheads or whatever, but it means more that he was a great warrior. And he used his being a person to fight battles, to fight the battles of Hashem. And we needed somebody like that to fight the battles of Hashem. But when a person uses his strength to harm other people and to hurt other people, so he's just evil. And so there's a description of the... it's not clear if this is the Almighty, this is Hashem, or an angel that will exact retribution from the evil people. So who is that coming from Edom, from the nation that sheds blood? And it describes him, Chamutz Begadim, the clothing that the angel will wear will be spattered in blood from the destroying of the wicked. And he's coming from a city called Batra, and that was the traditional city of the Edomites. Now, some people say that the Esav ran to Batra because there is a city of refuge called Batzer, but that's a different city. There is that people always look for good luck charms that'll save them from, you know, they'll go to the city of refuge, they'll get, it's really what happened with the Nazis. So a lot of them escaped through the church and they escaped, but in the end, there will be no escaping for people that were evil, people that have harmed others, people that it's either describing like Hashem himself as punishing them, or some type of angel that's going to some of the Mefarshim learn that there's the angel of death will exact retribution. Hadar Belvushet Soya Barov Koko, and these people bragged about their power and their might, and they will in the end be there's an idea also that in the right before the Mashiach comes, that nations will come against the Jewish people. They will come to slaughter. They will come to wage war against us. And that's the war of Gog and Magog. It's described. But other religions have this. A lot of people are into this apocalypse and into this, you know, even the Muslims have some kind of huge war. But it really is that only if there's evil. In other words, if there are people that are fighting against other countries and harming other people, and so they have to know that there is a time when they seem like they're getting away with it, but in the end they won't get away with it. Ani bedaber v'tzaka, I speak with righteousness. Rav lahoshia, and it won't be a little salvation, it's going to be a great salvation. Verse 2. And people are going to ask, you know, angels are supposed to be like, you know, really pure and white and clean. And Madua Adam Lavu, this angel's coming and he looks, his clothes are all red. It looks like he's been making wine. When you make wine, I guess you get wine all over your clothes. You know, if you're stepping on the, you ever saw the movies where the French are in the bathtub and stepping on, but they must get it all over their clothes, right? I mean, wine of great splattering. I knew people that made their own wine for Passover. They would get grapes the week before, and they would make their own. And it was nice in a sense when you make something yourself. It's special, like you said, to make a certain recipe or whatever it is. You put there's significance to the effort that's put into making something for a holiday or for something special, and it does taste better. And it's not just the taste; it's the work that's done that makes it unique. As we all know, like we've had food that has been cooked by our people who cared to make it special, and we say, well, it tasted good. Well, you can go to fancy restaurants and have fancy chef. It's not the same.
It's the
tam. It's the tam, right. That's right. The secret ingredient. The Gemara talks about that there was an emperor that once passed a Jewish house on Shabbos, and he said, the smell was so unique, and he tasted the food, and it was out of this world. And he commanded his chef to make the cholent, to make the kugel, and it was not the same. It didn't have the tam. And he said, he accused the Jews of hiding the recipe. You know, every good
leaving something out.
And he said, well, what's your secret ingredient? And he said, you know, our secret ingredient is it's Shabbos. Shabbos gives it. And that's also true. In other words, the holiday itself lends the flavor, You know, there's nothing like, you know, Friday night or Shabbat, you know, that it makes the food taste special. It's something.
I always tell my non-kosher friends, if you have to use a kosher chicken.
Absolutely.
Nothing tastes the same.
Yes. Now, there is a side, when you kosher chicken, they salt it to take the blood out. And the same thing with a kosher turkey. And so therefore it is tastier than regular meat. It does have it pulls the flavor out. And so it's there are non-Jews that will tell you that the kosher chicken has more flavor to it for that reason.
I've changed a few people.
Okay, very good.
Just because it tastes better.
That's right. So, the people will wonder why is this clothing? Why is it all red? Puru derachto levadi, and he said that his answer is that he had some grape squeezing. Now, some people would say that when you squeeze grapes, you get the juice out and you throw away the pulp. And amongst the nations of the world, there is some good stuff. There are good people, but you need to throw the pulp away. You need to get rid of that. You need to do some, you know, squeeze out the bad, you know, get to separate the good from the bad. And so it could be that's the metaphor over here that he's describing. You know, he needs to squeeze the grapes a little bit. Ume'amim eini shiti. And there was no one on my side. No one did this together with me. And I trampled on them in my anger. In my vengeance, Hashem, you know, they got what was coming to them. And their blood spilled or splashed on his clothing. And all of his clothing was soiled, so to speak. Verse 4. Ki yom nakam belibi. And this day, that there would be a day of vengeance, people had a chance to repent. They have a chance to fix what they have done wrong. But if they are just abject evil and they are bloody and they harm people, they have to know that there is a vengeance. There is ultimately, there will be a punishment. And Ushnasko Liba, now this year was a time of redemption where it's time to, there's a great accounting that will take place. Va'abit, verse 5, ein ozer. I looked and there was nobody to help. There was nobody fighting evil. It's not easy to fight evil. It's hard enough to stand up for what's good. But to fight evil, that's really a big challenge. But one of the messages before Purim, the destruction of Amalek, is that you have to fight evil. You know, there, if people had stood up to Hitler, you know, in the early, before he got to power, you know, we'd be in a different world. But people didn't fight it. They allowed it to exist. Ain't so much. Nobody holds back. But Toshia leave. Izari v'chamasi, and his hand and his anger is what kept him going. Verse 6. The Avut Amim, and unfortunately, it wasn't just one nation. You know, we like to say, well, you know, it was Hitler, it was the Germans. There were many nations that are evil. There are many nations that have an accounting to bring. And these nations will be brought down. So that's this is really the end of the previous prophecy. And it actually ends a thought right there. Now we're going to begin a prayer. So the Jewish people has been redeemed. Israel and Zion are back, and they're regrowing and they're blooming. And we described it like a person who was alone and rejected, and now they're the kids are home, so to speak. The house is full, and there'll be a vengeance towards the people that the evildoers. Now it's described a prayer. It could be that this is a prayer of Yeshayahu. Usually we hear a prophecy. A prophecy is a prediction. You know, this is what's going to happen, or this is what, it's a rebuke. You know, you're doing wrong, you need to fix this. This is unique in that it's like a prayer. It's a thought that he had. It's a prayer thinking about these future events. What do we want to say? What do we feel? So, this is what a person needs to approach when the miraculous events happen. So, Chasdei Hashem, a person has to think about the kindness of Hashem, the fact that the good things that Hashem has done for us. Chasdei Hashem Askir, I will mention the kindness of Hashem. Sometimes, you know, when something bad happens, people always talk about it, but they forget to talk about the good things. Mm-hmm. They forget, you know, you have a... there's so many things that go right. No one ever says, well, you know, I actually walked today, or I actually breathed today, or I walked outside and I felt good. You know, a person has to, there are some people when you greet them and they say, how are you doing? They say, Chasdei, that's the response. It's Chasdei Hashem, the kindness of the Lord. You know, it's just a person should count his blessings. That's really what it means, like to think of Hashem's kindnesses. There's so many things that we have to be thankful for. And we don't always count him. We don't always think about him. So he says that at a time like this, a person says, Chasdei Hashem Askir. I'm going to mention the kindness of Hashem. And Tehillas Hashem, and the praise of Hashem, Ka'al Kol Asher Gamanu, and thinking of all the things that he's done for us. Rav Tuv L'Beis Yisrael, think of all the good things he's done for the house of Israel. Asher Gamlam Karakamav, and really, we didn't necessarily deserve it. It was because of his great mercy, Ukarov Chasadov, and because of his great kindness. Verse 8. But Yomar said, Ach Ami Hema. And, you know, it's what people don't do for their family or for their children, right? That's the. So Hashem says, well, of course, the Bnei Yisrael is my people, but Hemu Banim, they're my children. Lo Yishakeru, I won't be false with them. Vihilhem Lamoshia, and Hashem will save them. And, like, it's like if our children call us, and there's a terrible scam where they call people up and they pretend to be someone's kid and they're stuck in a foreign country or something and they need cash and but it sounds very real. You know, this is a person's grandson, or this is a person's they're stuck here at the airport and they lost their passport and they want you to forward the, just give them your credit card number. And what happens though is that they pray on the fact that we want to do for our family, we want to do for our children, our child needs me. And when a person hears that, so of course, what can I do? Right? The only problem is that you don't want to give your credit card number to some stranger over the phone.
Or your
social security number, that's right. That's right. But they play on that heartstring that a person has, that, you know, they sound like a customs agent or somebody at an airport. They lost their passport and we can expedite him one. And but otherwise, he's this or that, and he's right here. And but Hashem says, for my children, anything. You know, if we know that we can really help them, of course we would do it. Verse 9, B'kol tzar osam lo tzar. And no matter what trouble they got into, it wasn't trouble for Hashem. In other words, Hashem was there for him. U'malok panav hoshiyem. And Hashem sent his angel to help. You know, we always bail our children out, our family out. B'avaso b'chamaso, with his love and with his mercy, hu golem, he redeemed them. The not lame, and sometimes they get themselves into trouble. They go off into these far places. Hashem has to pluck them out. You know, well, who told you to go there? Of course, that's what happened. But you know, that's the nothing, and he carries them. Kol yemei olam, all the days of the world. In other words, it's a historical thing where we go places that maybe we shouldn't go, and we get into things we shouldn't get into, and we call out to Hashem, save us, and He does. He redeems us. He carries. He lifts us out. Now, so how should we respond? Now, we have to think about this. You know, we're sitting here, and we have history books, and we can go back, and we can see all the different times that we as a people have lived through. You know, there was a time that we were slaves. There was a time that we were in concentration camps. There was a time that we had pogroms. There were times that we were expelled and we had nowhere to go. And our ancestors, each time, were saved by Hashem. Like, in other words, we're only here because of an incredible amount of miracles that other nations, they disappeared. They were attacked and they were destroyed and they're gone. But we exist today because throughout history, Hashem has come to our aid. It puts a tremendous amount of, we should be very grateful and aware of that how Hashem has come to our aid. But unfortunately, what happens, Fahemu Moru, even though we should be very thankful, and just a person being aware of Jewish history, and sometimes you meet young people and it doesn't move them, it doesn't bind them, it doesn't, they go and they do their thing, they rebel. Va'azvu. As Ruach Kodesho. Now, I see he translated, they cause him grief. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and again, that's in human relations. You know, kids sometimes do that, or other people do that. But here, we aggravate Hashem. You know, people, Hashem saves us from one trouble, and another generation comes along, and they cause him aggravation. V'hafukah m'oyef. And they fight against Hashem. Hu nochumbam. And they go on a different approach. V'yizkru yemei olam. And the Jewish people, they have to remember the early times. It all comes back to Moshe, the book of Moshe, the Torah. Really, what it comes back to. In fact, the very last words of the books of the prophets are Zikru Torah Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moshe. And so that's the. He also says, you know, at the. This is what you always come back to is open the Torah. You know, look at the Torah, see where the Yizkor Yemei Olam, and remember. Hashem perhaps would get mad at the Jewish people of a given generation or a given time, and he looks at what they're doing, and he remembers the early days. He remembers the days of Moshe, Amo, his people, Ayeh Hamala Miyam, and how he took them out, passed them through the sea. As Roya Tsono, and he led them like the flock, as Hashem Bekirbo, and Hashem was in their midst, as Ruach Kodesh with his Holy Spirit, Moloki Amin Moshe, he was at the right, and Moshe was there with Tifarta, with the glory, Bekeya Mayim Ifnehem, and he split open the water in front of Lassus Lushem Olam, in order to create a name forever. That was not a one-time thing. That's why we were saved from Egypt in order that we become a nation, and Hashem saw great potential for us. And you know, different generations we get stuck in the mud, but we can pull our way out. Malichim betomos kesus b'midbar. Hashem led us through the depths, just like a horse in the desert. Lo yikashu. And when you go through the water, normally you would stumble in the mud, but Hashem just was like going on dry land, just like, you know. Kabahema Babika Tairit. And we followed Hashem. There are different times in our life where we just follow and Hashem leads. In other words, at a certain point, part of the greatness of the Jewish people is going back to Sinai is the Nasa V'Nishma, which is that we didn't know everything that was in the Torah, but we said, Hashem, if it's your Torah, we'll do whatever it says there. You know, when it came to going out of Egypt, the desert wasn't the most hospitable place to go with your families, you know, in a desert without food and without water and without. But if that's where Hashem was leading us, that's where we were going. In other words, throughout history, we have that emunah, that faith, that we take the plunge, that we're follower. There are certain times in life where we don't always know what how it'll work out, but we know that if we follow, we just go down the valley. We're going to go that way, and Hashem will lead us. And so that's the. Sometimes like an animal. An animal just follows the leader. It doesn't ask any questions. It just, you know. And so too, sometimes we follow like an animal in a valley. I guess an animal goes into a valley. I'm not sure of the metaphor. Ruach Hashem, Hashem will lead us. Kein nahak to amcha lasus l'chashem. Hashem will lead us also throughout all kinds of difficulties. We tell ourselves we follow the ways of Hashem and we know it'll come out right. And not only will it come out right, it'll make a glorified name. Now we say to Hashem the Father, Habet Mishmaim Re'eh, look down from the heavens. Sometimes we feel that Hashem isn't here with us, and we pray that we want Him to be involved, we want Him to see. Habet Mishmaim, like, you know, pull away the clouds, look down. Umezvul Kachecha, from your holy place, V'tifartecha. And we remember the mighty deeds that He did, and we ask Him to do mighty deeds now. Eye Kanesecha V'resecha, where is your power, where is your greatness? Hamon me'echa v'rachamecha, and where is your mercy? And we ask Him to once again show mercy on us and pity us and save us. Verse 16. Why should He do it? Ki atavinu, because you're our Father. You don't have to say anymore. He's our Dad. He's our Father. I think I mentioned to you that I hate to pick on the Christians. It's just, you know, this idea of Son of God. You know, they just blew it. They just mixed up Scripture. So. Such a beautiful idea that Hashem is our Father, so they turned it into like, you know, like the you know, like Zeus had a child, you know, or whatever, and the Son of God, and it's a shame, because it's a beautiful idea that Hashem loves us, and that He, just like our parents brought us here, Hashem also brought us in the world, and just like our parents, we know we can call them, and they're interested in us, and they want to help us. So too, Hashem is our parent, and we say to Him, you're our Father. And we know that He wants to help us. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that we're the Son of God, that we're some kind of magical being, and that there's no person who's the Son of God, and we don't believe in idols, and God doesn't need any partners. He doesn't need anybody taking over for Him. But the idea that He's our Father. That's why they call the priest the Father or whatever. It's different. But they took the idea that's a beautiful idea, and they just turned it into something that's just a very bizarre kind of thing. But the basic idea that Hashem is our Father, He's like our parents and He's loving, that's a very important idea, that we think of Hashem in that way, that we see Hashem as sometimes things we have a challenge and we have no one to turn to, we turn to our Father. Who else are we turned to? So, ki ata avinu, and you are our Father, ki Avram lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo yakirenu. Sometimes, it's an interesting verse over here. First of all, it skips Yitzchak.
Yeah.
It mentions Avraham and Yisrael. And sometimes, certainly if we have the merits of Avraham or Yisrael, then that would be good. In other words, then Hashem would redeem us, but sometimes we don't have those merits. There's only so far you can go with being so-and-so's kid. In other words, you can go to your parents' friends and say, help me out, I'm so-and-so's kid. And that only works so long. That only gets you so much, you know, being so-and-so. We have what we call schus avos, the merits of the forefathers. So sometimes Abraham doesn't recognize us. You know, we're far distant from that. Israel, we can. But Hashem is our Father. A father always recognizes his children. He will redeem them. ma'om shemelcha. In other words, even if we're not worthy, we don't represent like our forefathers. What some people say is like this, that Isaac Yitzchak represented the very solemn person, the righteous, that there are certain righteous in every generation that that we will be redeemed because of these special people. There are certain angels. You have certain people like that are really like, you know, very pious and very solid people. There's a medrash that implies that Abraham wanted to make everybody, you know, to be kind and to be good and to be sharing and giving. Really, we all could do that, you know. Or Yisrael, you know, Yaakov Avinu was he studied Torah and he was dedicated to his family and truth. That's also something that all of us could do. But to be a very pious kind of person and to be, Yitzchak was blind and he prayed all day and he, you know, the. Not everybody could do that. Not everybody could sit in shul all day long and pray. And they say that he wanted divine justice. You know, he was the sacrifice. And that's some. But it says that Abraham and Yaakov, that Hashem, even if we don't have their merits, Hashem will recognize us because he's our father. Verse 17. Lama tesenu Hashem edarchecha. Why should we be led away from your ways? Takshiv libeinu miyirasecha. Why should we harden our hearts? Sometimes we know that we live in a world where there are a lot of temptations, and it's really hard. Some people feel that we have more temptations available to us than previous times. People grew up in these small little villages, and what could they do already? You know, like what was open today? People have access to, you know, they get on the internet and they can meet all kinds of things and all kinds of ideas, and you have. People can do lots of harm and lots of. So sometimes we know that we're tempted and we pray to Hashem, you know, Hashem, take the temptations away. Help us return. Shuv l'man avadecha shiftei nachlosecha. We are your servants. We are the tribes of your inheritance. L'meitza yishu am kodshecha. It wasn't that long ago that we were in your holy place. And sarenu bosu mitashecha. And our enemies destroyed your temple. Hayinu me'olam lo meshaltabam. And it was like, it's almost like we want to go back to those times. It was like you never were our king or never were our leader, lo nikoshim kolam, and you didn't call our name on us, lo karat shemayim. We can't forget what our destiny was, which was to be the people that carry the name of Hashem, the people that spread the awareness of Hashem. And we were we remember that time where shemayim mipanecha harim Noslu, where the mountains and the, you know, nature moved for the sake of the Jewish people. That's the when Hashem came down from Sinai and when we were traveling in the desert, he made a path for them. And there's a lot of natural things that we worry about. You know, how can we serve Hashem? There's so many problems. These are not problems. Hashem can take care of all of nature in the service of Hashem. And so that's what he describes here about the. If Hashem can open the heavens and he can move the things around, and we can once again go back to that magic stage where we represent the nation of Hashem and we bring out the ways of Hashem and Hashem's name is called upon us. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.